Skip Stam, Speaker Pro Tem, announced yesterday that he intended to have a legislative briefing on January 28th about the Religious Freedom Bill. Can you tell me what you know about that?
Sure. We have not been really brought into the loop on the content. I expect that we'll hear more from Stam and other leadership at that time on what the intended scope and purpose of their religious refusal legislation will look like.
Okay, great. And I noticed you called it religious refusal. Now, what do you mean by that?
Right. So this legislation has nothing to do with freedom of religion. I'm a Catholic American. I believe in freedom of religion for all. It has to do with the fact that there are certain people who are employed by the state of North Carolina who have a job to do. And so it is allowing for an unfair refusal for them to do their job. And this has nothing to do with religion.
I guess the scenario I could imagine, because same-sex marriage is now legal in North Carolina, that a same-sex couple may go to get married and be refused. Is that kind of the scenario you're talking about?
Yes, that's exactly the scenario that we're concerned about. There is an effort underway to exempt magistrates, who are the only people who can conduct civil marriages in the state of North Carolina, from having to conduct same-sex marriages based on concerns that they might have. And this is obviously unconstitutional. The orders from Judge Cogburn and Judge Osteen here in the Middle District both very solidly explained that the entire state of North Carolina is enjoined from enforcing Amendment 1 and that all of Amendment 1 is unconstitutional. So there's not a workaround of the requirements for people who are employees of the state of North Carolina.
Now, what would you say to someone who does have really deeply held convictions or religious convictions who feel like homosexuality might be a sin and that they don't want to take part in it?
I would say that this has nothing to do with religious beliefs. Again, this has to do with the fact that certain people are hired to do a job, and they work for the government. They work for the taxpayers of North Carolina. I'm sure that there are things that occasionally pop up that you don't agree with, that you have to report on, or that, you know, I don't agree with, that I have to be part of. But if that's part of your job, that's part of your job. And this is about hard work and has nothing to do with religion.
Okay, great. Do you or anyone from your organization plan to attend that January 28th briefing?
Yes, I will be there. Our lobbyists will be there. We'll have a fair amount of staff at that event to hear what Skip Stam has to say and to be in a position to combat it. I will say that I think the unfortunate reality is that Representative Stam has shown his true colors time and time again, and that's that he is an incredibly divisive player in North Carolina politics. Speaker Moore just the other day said that he is not interested in focusing on anything that doesn't deal with job creation. And I think that everybody is well aware that that is the priority of the state of North Carolina and the people of North Carolina, and not wasting taxpayer dollars on an issue that's already been decided. So I'm sure we'll hear the scope of what Skip Stam has to say at that point, and we'll be there to combat that. But the unfortunate reality is that we probably already have a pretty good idea of what that's going to look like, given how severely out of touch with the people of North Carolina that Stam is and has been.
When you say that that they're out of touch with the people of North Carolina, couldn't the argument be made that Amendment 1 was passed with something like 61% of the vote?
That's not really an argument that, unfortunately, for Tammy Fitzgerald or people like Stam, carries any water. That was intentionally designed to be on a primary ballot where there would be extremely low turnout. And so only about 30% of North Carolinians even voted. So only about 21% of North Carolinians actually voted for the amendment. So this is not something that has been passed by popular opinion in the state. It's something that was intentionally designed by Stam and a few radical conservatives at the legislature to be voted on at a time when they knew that not a lot of people would be going to the polls. So no, this is not representative of the state of North Carolina.
Now, I know bills like this have been introduced in other states. I think kind of famously Arizona, where there was a huge backlash to it. And I think they even were threatened by the NFL that they might lose the Super Bowl or something like that. I mean, is this the kind of thing? Do you expect this legislation to be similar to that?
You know, we're not sure of the full scope of the bill at this time. The proposed bill only exempts magistrates, but certainly we are prepared for a bill that could look like what was proposed in Arizona or what was proposed in Georgia last session. In both of those states, as you pointed out, a business coalition, along with just common sense people of the state, made sure that those pieces of legislation did not pass in states that have Republican-dominated legislatures and Republican governors. So the NFL spoke out in Arizona, as well as a broad coalition of business leaders. In Georgia, Delta spoke out. They're the reason why Atlanta is what it is, and said, you know, this is going to be problematic for the business climate of the state of Georgia. And I expect that the same will happen here. People who do business know that regardless of if you're conservative or progressive, that even proposing these measures is really problematic for recruiting and retaining young professionals in a state like North Carolina, where that's crucial.
If the bill is actually introduced, how does Equality NC plan to fight it?
We'll fight it with a broad coalition of other leaders. We have over 200,000 activists who are LGBT and allies across the state of North Carolina who we will activate to communicate with their legislators. We will have one-on-one conversations with members of the General Assembly to talk to them about the real harm that this does to both LGBT North Carolinians and the reputation of the state. And we'll work with a coalition of business leaders, faith leaders, and just fair-minded, straight ally North Carolinians across the state to deliver a message to Raleigh that if this is really what they want to focus on, they're woefully out of touch with the people of the state of North Carolina.
All right, great, Chris. I really appreciate your time. Is there anything else you want to say about it before we wrap up?
I would just reiterate, I think, what is the most important point to us, which is it's really a false title that this is a religious freedom bill. I think we've all seen through time that legislators get to craft fancy names for their piece of legislation, but this is really a discrimination bill that has nothing to do with what your religion is. It has to do with state employees who have a job to do. And that's really the bottom line for us and for the people of North Carolina.